what's going on with the cleanup down by the river, and tell us the steps of what's happening again.
Well, as we've talked about in the past, we're wanting to put a trail along the river from Fairbanks Park down to I-70, and one of the parcels that we acquired in the last couple of years was found to have some contamination. And so over the last year or so, we've been working with the EPA to get a plan in place to get it cleaned up, and they came last week and started the cleanup. So we're excited that that next step in the process is taking place. They're actually cleaning up some lead that's down there. There were several deposited spots where some contamination of materials that had lead in it was the primary issue. And they're slowly removing all of that. It's a situation where it can become airborne. And so they're down there with respiration type equipment, digging out these seven spots basically. And once they complete that portion of the cleanup, then we can go in and clean up the rest of the surface debris.
And how did this come to pass again? What was there? What, you know, how, why did these things end up in the ground?
Well, you know, this is an old junkyard. And so we're thinking that many, many years ago, before it really became a vehicle junkyard, there was people just dumping a variety of things along the river and especially on this site. So the EPA will go back and research that and see if they can make somebody liable for it. But from our perspective, we're free and clear and they're doing the cleanup.
Has the EPA, from your point as the local executive, have they been good to work with?
Yeah, we've got a great relationship with both the IDEM level at the state and with the EPA. This is one that they wanted to do themselves. Normally you kind of work with IDEM and we hire the contractor, but this was pretty significant when they wanted to get cleaned up. And so they stepped right in there and have been very, very responsive.
Okay, and so then what is the timetable on this and what will happen next?
We're hoping that they will complete their work within the next 4 to 6 weeks, and then we'll be able to go in. It'll probably take us 2 or 3 months to, there's some vehicles that have been left abandoned down there and some other materials. None of it's hazardous, but we'll have to slowly pull all of that out of there and clean up the rest of the site. Then we can go in and begin to do the work that we need to do.
Okay, and that'll end up being a trail and some other amenities maybe?
A trail, and then there's also part of our long-term control plan. We have a situation where we have two overflow pipes that come together at that property. And so we'll be putting a screening house, if you will, to capture the solids that typically went into the river. So we've got two projects to be done on that acreage.
Okay. I want to ask you about, I saw that the Board of Public Works approved funding for this financial consultant for the city mm-hmm. council. And I think we've talked about this before, but as it moves on and as people have started to question some financial things going on with the city, do you still think this is an unnecessary expense of city money?
Well, you know, it's the council's choice. My concern all along has been if they want it, put it in your budget and spend your money versus taking it out of our budget. You know, a lot of this stuff is just hype and politics. I mean, we've gone through some tough times because of the property tax caps, but this is the first year that we've turned the corner and we're actually making some positive gains, and yet the discussions continue on. It's a little frustrating at times because we all are on the same team here and we need to be working to solve the problems, and hiring a third financial consultant isn't going to go reach any new conclusions. We've got two of the best consultants in the state of Indiana working for us now. They've been working for the city for 15 plus years. They're competent people, and if the council wants to hire somebody to help them through the process, then more power to them, but build it in their budget and use their money next year.
Can you tell me about the law that you're trying to come into compliance with that changed the way you did some accounting here at the...
It really has to do with the TIF districts. And, you know, I was opposed to that TIF legislation. It's hurt our downtown legacy TIF. It's put an expiration date on it now. And TIF districts, I think, work pretty well in Vigo County and Terre Haute. So I was very much behind let's keeping them in place. Well, part of this law requires the city administration to then begin managing the funds of the Redevelopment Commission. Because of some redevelopment commissions and mayors across the state apparently haven't been doing what the legislature wanted them to do, they come and throw a blanket set of rules over all of us. And so we have until July 1st to become fully compliant with it. We started back in May, basically late April, and we're going to get ourselves in that position. And so really the biggest change is that the city controller is responsible for the finances. And the second piece is that they will have to submit a budget to the city council for approval.
What do you think about that change in oversight? Do you think this will be, is this an improvement in accountability?
I suppose it can be. I mean, I think it was pretty accountable before. Once again, the legislature made the decision that they want either a clerk treasurer or a controller to manage the funds like all the other funds are managed. So I can understand the efficiencies of that. I guess time will tell whether it was a good decision on their part or not.
Okay. And it's your understanding that you need to be in compliance with this law by July 1st?
Yes,
Okay. So it's not one of those deals where, so you think you have the authority to do this now? You didn't need to wait until July 1st and then start doing
this? No, because the law says by July 1st. And so if we didn't get started, we still have a lot of work to do to get completed by then. And really, it's, you know, we went up and talked to Redevelopment Commission. They handed over the books to us early. They didn't have to do that if they didn't want to. And so it only made sense that we got started on it and get it done, and then it's behind us.
Okay. Tell me again your thoughts on, so now that this money is pooled, right, and it's in a general cash.
Some of that money,
mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a transition.
All right. Yeah. You feel it's appropriate to use that money while it's in there to pay city expenses, is that correct?
All of our revenues go into our cash accounts, and it's been that way since 2005. We've not changed anything at all about our system of financial management. All we've done now is folded their 19 funds in with our 20 funds. See, that's the thing. We've got, I shouldn't say funds that way. We've got 80 different funds, but we've got about 20 bank accounts. They've got 19 different funds and 19 bank accounts. And we're gonna merge those together, streamline the process based on State Board of Account recommendations. And when we pool cash, then all of our revenues go into the cash fund, and then we farm it out to the individual funds to make bond payments and other payments, as just like all the other cities in Indiana have done for years.
Okay. Can you give us an update on what happened with the payroll and why there was some payroll problems the last go around?
Yeah, and clearly a technical issue, and we still don't know what it was. It had nothing to do with finances whatsoever. All of our money was in the bank at 10:30 Thursday morning, and at 3 o'clock when we send our 5 files to the bank to be processed for payroll, sometime after that, something happened. We've gone back and checked our files. There's nothing wrong with them. They posted with the bank beginning on Friday night, Saturday, and on Monday, so our files were fine. Something happened during the transmission or some other technical issue, and so we had to end up cutting checks for about half of our employees who don't bank at 2 local banks. That's the thing that's complicated about this is it worked at 2 banks, but it didn't work at 4 banks, and so all in the same file. So we're not really sure what happened, some kind of a technical glitch, but it had absolutely nothing to do with any financial situation because all the money was in the bank at 10:30 that morning and we cut checks Friday and people got paid Friday.
Okay. I know, and you've explained this to me a lot in the past, that this property tax cap thing has just really hurt the city of Terre Haute, hurt a lot of communities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it hard right now? Are you short on cash funds? Have you had to come up with new ways to pay bills?
There is nothing any different this year than it has been the last 3 or 4 years. Every time, as I've said many, many times, as we go and ask for a tax anticipation warrant from the council, the purpose of that is to help fund us for the first 6 months of the year. See, we've not been paid, if you will. Over the next 6 months, we get 2 giant disbursements of property tax money. We've not had any since December. And so that closed up last year. And so every time we get into April, May, and June timeframe, we're always tight. It's been that way for 4 straight years now. Nothing any different this year. But what's different about this year overall is we're taking in more money. So we've turned the corner. Last year was our worst year besides 2011. 11 and 13 were our 2 toughest. And now, though, we've turned the corner with additional revenues. And so once we get through June of this year, then we should be in a much better position as we move forward.
I remember, for example, like you went to the city council and you got permission to issue like a 3-year bond or to try mm-hmm. to sell a 3-year bond. Like, mm-hmm. was that successful? Were you able to sell that bond?
Well, absolutely. Now, we decided not to do a 3-year at the time, though, because the better deal for us was to look at the 1-year. But we've got the 3-year available to us, so we don't have to go back to the council again. If we want to renew it, we can. We could lower the amount. We can shop it around more. And so it gave us a lot more flexibility, and I appreciate the council doing that.
Okay. So the 3-year bond is still an option, but it hasn't been sold?
Well, we only did it for 3 years, so we did 1 year for this year. We can do, whatever. We've got 2 more years on that 3-year window.
Okay, and do you need to go back to the council to talk to them anymore about that, or has you have?
Not at this point. We'll probably won't do that till the end of the year. We'll see how things shake out.
Like if something, if the term changes or something, then you need to speak with them again, or?
No, because it's all in the ordinance that they already passed, what our flexibility is. Up to a certain interest rate, how many years it can be, and how much the value is. So none of that would change.
Okay. It's kind of a neat thing that always happens here in Terre Haute with the Special Olympics. And can you just talk about the impact that that has on the town?
You know, it's huge. I mean, we've had it here for many, many years. It's so fun to watch them participate in Special Olympics, but it's great to see people all over the city. I mean, when you bring thousands of people in like that to participate, their family members or coaches, whoever travels with them, seeing people out to eat, walking downtown, staying in our hotels, those are the kind of events that really have a huge impact on the community. So it was an exciting weekend, a lot of fun, and everybody goes home, whether they won or lost, to having a great experience in Terre Haute. There's a ton of volunteers and staff that put this thing on. I mean, it's really a very big production using multiple facilities. And so, you know, it's a wonderful event, and we're just so thankful they continue to come to Terre Haute, and all of our businesses and the community benefits greatly from their presence.
Do you talk about that event when you're trying to, because I know you were trying to kind of build up that sports area.
That's another one, because a lot of people, they don't have that. And so we're able to put these kind of events on, just another sporting event. It helps increase our sales tax that we generate here in Vigo County. Just another one of many things in our hopper, I guess you could say, that allows us to be successful.
Tell people who don't know, like what facilities are used.
They use Rose Hallman, they use a lot of ISU facilities, primarily Hallman Center for the big activities, but the track and field facility, they use a lot of those athletic facilities that already exist here, but it's the fact that you're bringing all these new and different people in who wouldn't normally come to Terre Haute except for this particular event. And, we have a lot of things out at the cross country event where you have a whole different group of people that come for cross country. We have tennis events and soccer events. So all these different markets out there, and the Special Olympics is just a very unique one, and we're very happy about that.